This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
In January 2007, I put out an appeal at my news website, earthfiles.com, and in radio broadcasts for viewers and listeners who have had first-hand interactions with non-human entities to contact me at my email address, earthfiles@earthfiles.com. I have received hundreds of responses from people all over North America and other parts of the world, indicating yet again how widespread and numerous are the experiences between humans and what appear to be non-human biological entities. One of the emails caught my attention because the date of the man's most recent interaction was the second week of January 2007. What he saw was a seemingly solid biological gray entity wearing a monk's robe type garment floating above ground about 20 feet away. Others in the human abduction syndrome over the decades have also described seeing gray entities floating or moving in the air above ground. But this time, the location is a major defense contractor that builds armored vehicles for military application, and the eyewitness is a 27-year-old machinist who helps build those military vehicles. Further, the machinist had specifically asked to work on the all-night shift in order to get away from gray entities that have intruded into his Louisiana bedroom and have given him night terrors. His wife has tried to cope with his night traumas and was relieved when he decided to work evening shifts. That's why the machinist is haunted by the January 2007 event. He thinks it is a clear message from the gray entities who have been in his life since he was 3 years old growing up in New Orleans. That message is, the gray non-humans will be in his life as long as the grays want to, whether the machinist is home in bed at night or working for a defense contractor who has strict post-9/11 security. Here now is the machinist's description of one of his most dramatic abduction memories and what happened in the second week of January 2007.
When I was young, my mother remembers me talking about people coming, what I would say, come and visit me at night. And she pretty much passed it off as, you know, a child's got issues or, you know, just seeing imaginary things or whatever. And it really started out a few years later. We were grocery shopping. We're at the checkout line, and there was a book. The book was Whitley Strieber's Communion. I got real frantic when we were in line. I literally caused a scene in the store, and that's when my mother knew what the problem was. My mother and my grandfather, who is deceased now, both experienced this from, you know, their early years. So that she knew right off the bat what I was going through. She wound up purchasing a book and kind of take my curiosity after that on what I was going through, but I was still feeling a lot of fear after that. Most of the abduction cases that I can recall, I mean, I don't know what their agenda is, and I don't, you know what happens to me after a certain point. I usually get a buzzing in my left ear. It sounds like a real faint forklift beep, just a slight beep, 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 and it's in my left ear. I hear this, and usually, I mean, I'm a heavy sleeper, so my wife can tell you I can sleep through a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So if I wake up in the middle of the night, usually something's catching me like that, or that's how she knows I'm usually seeing something. I'll wake up, and usually I'll see a being or see a silhouette, and that's all I remember. This went on all through my teenage years, and after me and my wife purchased our house after we got married, I lived in St. Bernard Parish my whole life. Mm-hmm. And we moved to a little suburb called Muro. I just had a knee surgery. I wound up blowing my knee out, tore my ACL, so I wasn't able to walk. And I had to sleep on a sofa because I needed somewhere to stabilize my leg while I slept. And this is an abduction case that I do recall because it involved my mother. What happened was I woke up, I heard the beeping, and then I had a being sort of leaning over the back of the sofa, looking dead at me, and then I passed out. And the next thing I wound up remembering was I was standing. It was more than just me. It was like, geez, it must have been 8 or 10 people. And it was almost like walking in a desert. It was like endless sand. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, but it was like endless sand. And my mother was there. And, you know, I look back at it now, and I thought that's odd because I couldn't walk. I just got out of surgery. And then that was it. I remember seeing these beings there. So about four beings. They were about 4 feet tall. Your typical gray you see on, you know, television, large black eyes, real pale skin. And that was the only thing I remembered. But the reason I knew this happened was when I woke up, I had sand on my feet. And I had sand on a sofa. My mother didn't recall this happening, but she woke up with sand on her feet also, and sand in her bed. And she lived 7 miles away from me. So I called her up that morning, and I was, you know, panicking about it. I was like, Mom, did you see that last night? She's like, see what? It's like, I told her the story, and she said, that's odd. I woke up with sand in my bed. So that's my only abduction case that I actually somewhat remember anything. Everything else, I mean, even to this day, when I hear something in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll see something, and then I pass out. If it's just because of fear or if it's something they do, but I pass out.
Okay, now let's go to that sound that you associate since being a child with these gray entities coming and taking you. And can you please describe it and mimic it?
It's just a real faint beep in my left ear. Just hear beep, 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 and it stays constant. And that I'll hear before something happens. Usually panic sets in right after that. My hair stands up on the back of my neck. I just freak out. And I know something's about to happen.
And you don't hear that beeping sound any other time except in association with the grays coming, appearing, and taking you somewhere.
That's the only time I hear it. It's weird because it's not like it's going directly in my ear, like somebody talking in your ear. It seems like it's just in there.
Inside of your head.
Right.
Could you please come up to this event that occurred while you were at work in the second week of January 2007 and describe in as much detail what you remember?
Well, at the place I'm employed, we're not allowed to smoke inside the building. So you go outside, have a cigarette, you usually come back in and finish your work. It's about 9:30 at night. Step out, have a cigarette. A couple of minutes after I got out there, I started to get that beeping sensation in my ear again. And the first thing I'm thinking is, all right, well, we have forklifts around here, so I'm probably hearing a forklift, and I just push it off. Well, right after that, I just had this overwhelming fear come over me. And I'm looking around, and I just so happen to look up, and I see something hovering about 20 feet in the air, but it's floating. You know, I just happen to look, and it's a being. It's a gray. And it's wearing this cloak. It's almost like a long trench coat. And I don't see its body, but I can see its head. And the rest of it's just this cloak floating up in the air. And, you know, I start to panic now because I don't know what to do. You know, I'm freaking out because I've never, you know, not in a type of facility like I work in. These people are prepared for a terrorist attack. Yeah. You know, we have armored guards that patrol the facility. So the only reason I work the shift that I work is I'm scared to sleep at night because of these things. And what happens is I just get this feeling, you know, like it's not really talking to me, but I just feel like I can't run away from these things. You know, it's the first thing that comes over me. I can't run. I can't hide. Just as soon as that happened, it floated up and disappeared.
How high is this being above you?
Roughly 20 to 25 feet.
And about how big?
I'd say about 4 to 4.5 feet tall.
And the garment that it's wearing, you said a trench coat, but earlier you said a hooded cloak.
Right. It kind of hooked like a trench coat. I have a trench coat. That's why I'm using that as an example. It seemed like a cloak. Like, what's the best way I can describe it? Like a monk robe.
So more like a monk's robe with a head than a trench coat?
Right.
Now, what about the color?
The garment it was wearing,
mm-hmm.
It looked black.
And the black compared to this gray entity's skin, how would you compare the gray entity's skin to a color I might know?
It would be like a bluish gray, like a real pale, looks like something that just has no pigment at all.
And yet has a blue cast to it?
Right.
Now, go to the face that you can see in this monk's robe cloak and describe as much as you can remember of the face.
Its head was clearly bigger than the rest of it. Its head is just huge. It has large black eyes, almond-shaped eyes, kind of slanted. I didn't see a nose on it. And it had, a slit for a mouth. Just typical of the things I've been seeing my whole life. Just a real large head with large black eyes, larger than a human's eyes, way larger than a human's eyes.
And it's above you, floating in the air. Can you see through it like it was a hologram?
No, it's solid. Very solid.
See, as far as you're concerned, this is an organic, solid being.
Yes.
But it just happens to be able to float.
I can't understand that either, Linda. Really don't. That's what freaked me out.
Yeah. Let's go to this possible telepathic communication. You've been smoking a cigarette, and you become aware of this gray being that has haunted you your whole life, 20 feet above you, floating in the air. And then what happens inside of your head, to the best of your ability to describe?
The only thing I feel is I just cannot run away, and it just seems like that's put in me, like I can't hide from it. It wasn't like a voice or anything like that. It's just the one thing that just keeps going on in my head is that I can't hide from these things.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is part of the almost lesson. You have been going on a night shift in order to escape abductions at night, and you're at work at night having a cigarette break, and one of the grays appears above you as if to say, it doesn't matter when you work, it doesn't matter when you sleep, we can come whenever we want to.
Right. And I haven't slept well since, to be honest with you.
And in your lifetime, you're how old right now?
I'm 27.
In your 27 years, with memories going back to age 3 or 4, if you were going to sum up any kind of residue feeling about what they want, why they're here, why they're in your life, what would that be?
Be honest with you, Linda, I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know what their agenda is. I don't know why they visit me or why they visited my mother or even my grandfather. I really don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
And what is the bloodline in terms of countries going back to your grandfather and grandmother? Where were they born and raised?
The Canary Islands.
Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa.
Correct.
Your grandfather, grandmother, did they have stories?
My grandfather, he was a man of few words, to put it lightly. One of the stories that I've always heard, they used to have people telling stories of this red fireball that would chase the fishermen. I've heard these stories since I was young. And my grandfather, the only thing I've ever heard from my mother was that my grandfather ran one night saying he was being chased by a fireball. And he passed out, and then a few hours later, he made it home. That's the only story I've ever heard from my grandfather. My mother, you know, she had similar situations. Even in our house, growing up, she's pretty much seen the same things that I've seen.
What is your mother's sort of summary reaction about these gray beings?
She's not scared of them at all. She's openly talked to me about it ever since my incident when I was young. When I saw the cover of the Book of Communion, she's openly talked to me about it. She hasn't gone out of her way to investigate, but she's openly spoke to me about it. You know, whereas like my wife, my wife knows what goes on, but she's very uncomfortable speaking about it. My father, he really doesn't say much about it because he's never experienced anything. Well, my sister either.
And in your work, your work involves defense contracts. Have you ever been debriefed or warned about anything of a UFO nature?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com To see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.